How do you define success? Different people define it different ways. Put a couple of them up there for you on the screen. Life is a game. Money is how you keep score. Is that it? Is that what does it? For some it is. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. I even like Vince Lombardi, but not that much. Not the only thing. Here's the more popular one. You see this one, you know, on the little memes on your Facebook or Google sometimes. It'll pop up. It says, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take away our breath. Is that it? Is it the excitement of the day? Is it the fun thing that happened? Is it the good thing that takes place? Is it the startling thing that comes your way? What is it that defines success in your life? You see, when we live for Christ, there is an entirely different scoreboard. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking to us about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to that passage in verse 12 is where we're going to pick up. And I want to talk with you about how you see success when you view it through the eyes of faith. How do you see success when you see and measure life the way that God measures life? Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and as you know, we've been here in this book for a little bit of time now, and there's been all kinds of rumors swirling through the Corinthian church. There's all different kinds of accusations made that he's there for himself. He's there, you know, to gather the money that he's going to take back to Jerusalem. And he's not really going to do that. He's going to use it for himself. They're saying he's not really a man of integrity. They're saying he writes harsh letters, but when he's there in person, he kind of backs off and he's very weak. And all different kinds of things that they say about the Apostle Paul this morning. But I want you to notice how he defines success. When he begins to talk about what God is doing in and through his life, he says in verse 12 of chapter 10, he says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with someone who commends themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even you. Now, when Paul's talking about boasting here, he's not talking about puffing himself up. He's talking about pointing out what God has done in his life and what God has done through his life. He says, we're not going too far in our boasting, as would be the case if we had not come to you, for we did get as far as you with the gospel of Christ. Talking about when he went to plant the church there. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. He said, I'm not going to take credit for something that someone else has done. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Paul says, I hope there's enough of a foundation in your life and in the Corinthian church that we can use that foundation to launch somewhere else and make a difference in others' lives as well. We do not want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts boast in the Lord. For it's not the one who, listen, here's the key, it's not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. The one whom the Lord approves, the one whom the Lord validates, sometimes that word would be translated. So let's talk about how we measure success. The first thing Paul says is, pay attention to the culture, because there's a couple of different things that people do. He says, in our culture, people classify themselves. It's actually the base word, the root word that's used to talk about what the biologists do when they look at the different plants and they put them in these different categories. It means to put something in the same category as. Literally, he says, they look at people and they go, you know what? I'm just as good as you. You and I are in the same category. You're not any better than that. Then there's another one that says, we're going to compare ourselves. It means to measure against someone else. This is the one that doesn't say, I'm as good as you are. You know what this one says? I'm better than you are. It's an up and down kind of relationship. And then there's the last one, the one who commends himself or recommends himself. He's not even talking about you at all. He don't care if he's good or if you're good or if you're bad. He's only talking about him. Look how great I am. All these are very up and down relationships. I'm doing better and you're doing worse. And Paul tells us, when you look at life that way, if that's the way you measure success, then you've already lost from the very beginning.
Instead, he says, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to measure yourself against an entirely different standard. Instead of measuring yourself against other people, here's the standard that you're looking for. I measure myself against what it is that God has for me. Not what God has for you, or not what God has for my neighbor, not what God has for my mother, my father, my dad, my son, my child. What is it that God has put in my life? What is it that God wants for me? What is God's expectation of me? You see, what Paul is saying to us is we need to measure ourselves not against other people, but against what God's expectations are. It goes all the way back to what Jesus taught us over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. I won't take time to turn back there. You can read it this afternoon. You may be familiar with that particular parable. It's a story that Jesus told one day. He said there was a master who was going on a journey, and he called his servants together. He said, listen, I'm going to be gone for a long time. And he gave to one of them 5 talents, specific amount of money. He said, take this and use this while I'm gone. I'll give a count when I come back. He calls another one in. He says, I'm going to give you 2 talents. Take this and use this while I'm gone. And when I'm back, we'll reconcile accounts. He calls another one in and he gives him 1 talent. He says, take this, use this. When I come back, we will settle up accounts. He's gone for a long time. Shows back up, calls in the first one. And he says, let's make our books right. First guy says, well, this is what you gave me. This is what I did with it. And this is what I have to give back. And here's the key of the entire parable. The master says, anybody remember? What? Well done, good and faithful servant. To whom much is given, much is expected. Then he says to the second one, what did you do with what you got? Exact same response. This is what you gave me. This is what I got. Well done, good and faithful servant. The last one, though, came in and he said, I was afraid. I did not use what you gave me. And he was the one that was called to account. You see, the issue that Paul is pointing out for us here is exactly what Jesus was teaching us in that parable. The way that we are to measure success in our life as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, is what has God given me and what am I going to do with it? How am I using that? How am I extending that? How am I applying that in my life and in the life of other people? You see, you can't measure success by classifying, comparing, or committing. That's the way the world around us does that. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to look at what God has given us and ask ourselves a question, how do I use for God what He has entrusted into my hands? So there's 3 things that I think Paul talks about here in this next couple of verses that help us understand how we hear that well done, good and faithful servant. Because that's what we want to hear, right? That's what we want to hear. We want to stand before the Lord at the end of the day when we leave this life and we go to the next one. And He says, okay, this is the life that I gave you. What did you do with it? And whatever we offer up, when the evaluation is done, what we want to hear is, well done, good and faithful servant. So the question is, how do we get there? What is it that we do along the way with these things that God has given us? And what is it that He has given us that helps us hear, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, notice what Paul says as we continue to read down here. He says in verse 13, he says, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned, look at this, to us. A field that reaches even you. Paul says, listen, all these other people that came into the Corinthian church, that came into your church after I left, they're talking about this, and they're talking about that, they're talking about what they did here, what they did there, what they did in all these other different kind of places. Paul says, the only thing I want to talk to you about is the field that God put in my hands. What is the responsibility that God has entrusted to my care? He says, we're not going to go beyond where we should. We're not going to go beyond the boundaries, literally the word means, that God has laid out. Or the things that God has assigned to us. The lines literally that are laid out. The concept that he's using here, he reaches back to the original Olympic Games. You ever watch the Olympic Games and the people who run the races? And they have these lanes that are marked out on the path that they're supposed to run. And as you run the race, you have to stay in your lane. Because those lanes are previously marked. Actually, somebody, I was talking about this in staff meeting, and somebody said this past year, I didn't see it, that there was an Olympics race where it was a relay. And there's a specific zone in which when you hand the baton off to the other person, you have to hand it off within that zone. And they won the race, but they ran outside the lines. And you know what happened? They were disqualified. They crossed the finish line first, but they were disqualified because they didn't stay in their lane. And that's the image that the Apostle Paul is using here. He says, listen, he says, we are not going to go, look at it, we, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but we will confine our boasting to the lanes that God has assigned and marked out to us. So if you've been around Reva for any period of time, you will know that I've taught before that in the Bible there are some very specific lanes in life, and there's five of them. There's five lanes. And you can analyze it, you can parse it, you can dissect it and put it back together. But when you take the Bible, there's five lanes in life. There's the God lane. Where am I? What's the lane in my life? Number one, life is God. Secondly, there's a family lane. Third one is work. Fourth one is church. And the fifth one is all the rest. It's like a junk drawer in your kitchen. You got a junk drawer in your kitchen? Got a little bit of everything. You know, you open it up, it's like, I need a measuring tape. It's in the junk drawer. Need a nail file. My wife always needs a nail file. Need some fingernail polish. Need an ink pen. In the junk drawer. Everything's in the junk drawer. That's your junk drawer right there. That's all the other stuff. Here's the problem with most of us, though. We take the junk drawer and we make it the most important room in the house. Right? Everything else takes precedence. A couple of things that you need to understand here. The categories are important. The lanes that God has given us in life are important. They're significant. Are there other things in life you can do besides those? Yes. But the categories count. Not only the categories, but the order is important. The order is important. If you don't think that's true, you let your work be more important than your family and see what happens with your spouse. Ooh, I quit preaching and started meddling, didn't I? You let your work be more important than your family. Let your wife believe, let your husband believe that what you do at work is more important than they are. That takes precedence. And your life will get turned upside down. There'll be unhappiness everywhere. The categories are important. The order is important. And commitment is important. The amount of energy and effort that you invest in each of those different areas. God should get your very best. Unfortunately, a lot of times God gets relegated to the junk drawer, doesn't he? He gets what's left over after we do everything else. And again, when we live that way, then that creates all kinds of difficulties for us, all kinds of struggles for us. Everything gets out of kilter. Everything gets out of balance. When you have more commitment to the other stuff than you have to what is most important. Still remember the day that I walked off of a softball field when they were getting ready to play for the tournament championship or whatever it was, because I had promised my two little girls that we were going to go to the Orioles game. And all my buddies were looking at me like, say, what? I told you this morning, because none of us thought we were going to win. I told you this morning, if we win, you better get on the phone and call somebody to catch. Because I promise you, at 3 o'clock, I'm going to get in the car with my two little girls, and I'm going to go to the Orioles game. And I walked off the field and left. Why? Because family is more important than others. And I love to play softball. Truly do. Well, until I got too old to play. Now it just hurts. Amen. Thank you. I remember the last couple of days I was playing. They're like, I hit the ball. They're like, run, Pastor, run. I am running. Fast. This is the only gear we got. This is it. It's time to hang up the cleats. We're done. See, the categories are important. The order is important. And the level of commitment is important. You can say God is most important, but if you don't live that out with your commitment, He's not really most important. And so you got to have the categories right. You got to have them in the right order. And you got to be living it out in the right way. So here's the first question that you have to ask yourself. Am I in? Look what Paul says. Verse 13. We, however, will not boast beyond. We're not going to go outside the limits. We're not going to go outside the lane. We will not boast beyond the proper limits, but we will confine ourselves to the field God has assigned us. God has marked out those lanes in your life. And you got to go back and you got to ask yourself, am I staying in the lanes? Am I staying in the lane? God has assigned it. There's no one that is going to love your children, nurture your children, train your children, pray for your children more than you are. That's your lane. That's your lane. Right? There's no one that's going to love your wife, love your husband, nurture your husband, pray for your husband, pray for your wife more than your spouse. If you don't stay in your lane, everything is going to come apart. And that's what Paul is saying to us. The second thing that he says is this. Are we actually doing what God calls us to do in those areas? It's one thing to know it. I tell people all the time, it's so much easier to preach than it is to live. You're not confused, right? You know that I don't get 100% of this right 100% of the time. That 1 out of 1,000 I get wrong. You're supposed to laugh there. I can say that because my wife is out of town. Otherwise, she would have laughed. See, it's one thing to know it, it's another to do it. In these verses, Paul uses a number of different words to talk about the doing of life. He talked about our ministry reaching to you. The word means to hyperextend. You ever hyperextend your arm, your elbow, your knee, to stretch it beyond what it's supposed to go? And Paul says, that's what we do with our life. That's what we do with our work. We are investing ourselves far beyond everyone and everything else. He says, into the work that God has put into our hands, the labor, the pain, the trouble, the weariness that comes from exertion. See, only you know what God expects in the lanes of your life. When you look at them, you have to ask yourself the question, am I actually doing what God has given me to do? Have I moved beyond the knowing to the doing of it? I know that God should be first. Am I, in fact, putting Him first in my life? I know that my family is more important than my work. Do I make sure that I actually live that out in every area, every day, in every way? I heard this quote all the way back in Bible college, and it continues to be true. Most of us are biblically educated far beyond our level of obedience. What that means is we know a heck of a lot more than what we do. And so those questions that I put up there on the board, are we actually doing what God calls us to do? He says, neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work, of the effort, the energy done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand as well. So here's some questions. You can answer them, not me. Is God first in my life? Matthew 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Are you loving God that way? I can't answer that for you. But that's the first lane in your life. You let that lane get out of kilter, and everything else is just going to cascade out of control. Because it all flows down. It all comes from that one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Am I honoring the ones that God has put in my family. The first commandment with a promise. Honor your mother and your father. And Jesus built on that. He begins to talk to us about the way that we're supposed to be living. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved your church. Wives, respect your husbands. Parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't tick them off. Don't look for opportunities to tweak them and get them upset. You see, those are the lanes of life. That's how we live in our family. You let those get out of order. You know? For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Let a husband love his mother more than his wife and see what happens. Oh, can I even say that on Mother's Day? You're allowed to love your mother. You should love your mother. You should honor your mother. But for this reason, listen, shall a man leave his mother and father and cleave to, hold on to his wife. You get that out of kilter. There's all kinds of problems. Does that make sense? Your work. Am I working as unto the Lord? Am I in the lane? Here's a question that I came up with. I love this question. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says this. It says, whatsoever you do, do it all as if you're doing it unto the Lord. Here's a question. Is your boss glad that you work for her or for him? That's a good question, isn't it? Are they glad? When you show up in the morning, is your boss glad you're there? Man, she came today. Good things are going to happen. I've got someone I can lean on. I've got someone I can depend on. I've got a go-to person there. You know what I'm talking about? I got someone there. Is your boss glad you're there? Because whatsoever you do, if God has given you that as a part of your lanes in life, if He's given you that responsibility, if He's given you that job, you do it as unto Him. Which means you should be making your boss glad that you are there. They should look up in the morning and go, man, that's awesome. They're here. I read something, it was just the key to success. A fellow by the name of John Maxwell said this years and years ago. He said, there's three things that you do. He said his nephew was just going into the workforce. He said, there's three things that you can do. He said, you do these three things. He said, you will never lack a job. He says, number one, show up 15 minutes early every day. That doesn't sound that hard. Number two, go home 15 minutes after quitting time every day. And then number three, go to your boss and say, listen to this. I know that there are some difficult jobs and some dirty jobs and some things that no one else wants to do. When those come up, call me. I'll be glad to do them for you. Volunteer for the dirty job. You might say, what? I don't want all the dirty jobs. Is your boss glad that you're there? Whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. I've been working with a lot of these young pastors in the last couple of months. And one of the things I said to them a little while ago, I was talking with them. I said, you know what? For the bad things that happen in church that shouldn't happen, because every church has bad stuff happen. For all the people that are mean and ugly and say things to you and hurt you that they shouldn't do, I said, I apologize for that. I'm sorry. You know, church shouldn't be that way. It just shouldn't. But people are people and it's going to happen. I said, but for the price that you pay, because you choose to be a follower of Jesus Christ and a shepherd of His people, to pick up your cross daily and walk after Him and sacrifice in His name and behalf, I don't make any apologies for that at all. That's what you signed up for. So quit whining and start working. They never asked me to come back and speak anymore, Mark. I don't know why. Nobody likes a prophet. Prophets get stoned. You know, your boss should be glad that you're there. Are you working to the Lord? Here's the next one when you talk about church. Am I a fully functional part of the body? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Hebrews says don't give up meeting together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says God has given every single one of us a gift and we are to take that gift and use it in the body of Christ. So are you a fully functioning part of the body? Have you found a place And I don't mean a seat. I mean a job. Have you found a place to serve God and be engaged? And you're saying, I've never done that. It's kind of scary. That's okay. Listen, trust me. God said you have a gift. He said He has equipped you and He will empower you. And if you will get in your lane, you will be amazed at what God will do through you. It is incredible to see people who are energized and empowered by the Spirit of God. When they find that place and begin to serve God that way, it's amazing what happens. And then finally, are all the other things. Is that junk drawer in its right place? Because here's what happens. The temptation is to get in your lane, and to work in your lane is hard. It's not easy. It's difficult from day to day. And the junk drawer is always calling. It's going, man, this would be so good. Man, this would be so exciting. I had a weekend this weekend. It was one if you have weekends, I call them the bad ones. You know what I'm talking about? My wife went out of town on, what day did I drop her off at the airport? Wednesday or Thursday? I don't remember. Thursday. And so I had all this stuff I was going to get done. And I have these exciting projects that I'm working on. We got some great stuff coming to Reva this summer. And in the fall, there's some amazing stuff that God is going to be doing. So I had my lanes all set out. I knew what I was going to be doing. And then everything blew up. And I just couldn't get it done. And then Saturday was the worst day. Because you know what happened on Saturday? Anybody remember? It was drop dead gorgeous. It was, wasn't it? I woke up in the morning and I looked out the window and I could hear my boat calling. Dennis, the rockfish are running. Come to the boat. I'm like, it's beautiful. And I have so much to do. I didn't go to the boat. I wanted to. The junk drawer was calling my name. But I have some things that I have to get done. Right? It's no different than your life. Your life is that way. There's some things that God wants from you in your life. And everything else is calling. There's some things that your family needs from you. And everything else is calling. There's some things that your work legitimately needs from you. And everything else is calling. There's some things that the church legitimately needs from you, and everything else is calling. And what you have to be careful to do is keep the junk drawer in its proper place. It's okay. There will be another day when the sun is shining and the fish are running, and I will have the opportunity to go. Because God is gracious, and He gives us those from time to time. But you have to pay attention to make sure that you're doing it the right way. Because here's what the Apostle Paul says to us over in Hebrews chapter 12. Take a look with me over there. Therefore, chapter 12 and verse 1. Yes, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now look, and let us run with perseverance, and he uses exactly the same word, the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary when you lose heart. Three D's. Divest yourself. Get rid of the stuff that slows you down. You ever clean out your junk drawer? You're like, that's where that's at. Been looking for that. Sometimes we need to go into our life and do a little bit of spring cleaning. That's what he says. Get rid of, throw off of the things that tangle you up and slow you down. And be determined. Perseverance. Don't give up when it gets hard. Run with perseverance the race set out before you. Look at the lane that God has put there. And you say, Lord God, I am going to run in my lane and I am not going to give up. And then you devote yourself to the Lord. Set your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He, listen to me, he ran in his lane even when it was hard. Right? That's what we do. And then the final thing that will help you hear, well done, good and faithful servant, is the kingdom of God going forward because of me. Now, I understand that God is the one who ultimately does the work. I understand that God is the one who ultimately brings all spiritual results. It's not dependent upon us. But I'm telling you, God uses men and women in His kingdom. He always does. He uses people who make themselves available. If you go back and you look in the sound booth, you'll find there's somebody stuck up a little card in there a little while ago, maybe a year or two ago when I was preaching on something. And I said, you need to be fat. You need to be faithful, available, and teachable. If you are faithful, available, and teachable, God will use you. And so the question that we ask ourselves is the kingdom of God going forward? Look at what he says here. Go back to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians. Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Listen, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our area of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. For we don't want to boast about work already done in another man's territory, but let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. For it's not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one who the Lord commends. Listen, the one who is approved, the word means validated after examination. It means God has looked at you and he has said, after examining what you have done, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, what happened in the Olympics was they ran the race. They crossed the finish line first, and they went back to validate the results, and somebody said they were out of their lane. And they were not validated. Somebody else, I think, took the silver medal for that race. To be validated after examination. Paul says this is how you do that. Number one is your faith growing. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow. You see, some of us came to faith in Jesus Christ, and it's never expanded beyond that level. But God wants our faith to grow, to enlarge, to increase, the word means. It's just like muscles and development. If you never stretch your faith, it will never grow and get stronger. If you never come to the place where you go, you know what, God, you better show up on this one because I really need you. If you only stay within what you know you can do, your faith will never grow and mature and develop. And then he talks about the area of the kingdom. So that the area of activity among you will greatly expand. To be magnified or to be greater. When you look at the lanes in your life, is God getting more of your life? Is it expanding, magnifying, growing? Is that area of activity getting better? Is your family getting more of your life? Is your commitment to your family growing? Your investment in your family growing? Is your work getting what it deserves from you? Instead of when you show up, your boss going, man, I'm glad she's here. Your boss goes, geez, I wish they'd have stayed home today. Right? You worked with some of those? Please don't put me on team with that one. Please, no. Do I have to work with him? Because he won't carry his weight. Won't do his job. It's like I was at the trainer the other day. We were on the way out, and she said, you had a good workout today. I said, no, I didn't. I had 20 minutes of workout and 10 minutes of wine. But I spent 10 minutes whining. She's very gracious. Is the gospel going to new places? Places beyond. That's what it says. So that we can preach the gospel in regions beyond you. When God planted his grace in your heart, has it stayed there only? Or is it going beyond? Is it expanding and getting larger? You see, that's what happened with the parable of the servant. He took it and he had it and he brought it back. Here's what is yours. Go back and read. It's exactly what it says. Here is what is yours. And the master's like, no, that's not what we're talking about. I know that that was mine. What I want to know is, what did you do with what I gave you? Is the kingdom expanding, growing, maturing, going to new areas? Go out on the wall and look in Cuba. There's pictures of the Cuban pastors. There's about a dozen of them out there that the church as a whole is sponsoring. There's another 10 or so that the Band of Brothers is sponsoring. We just talked with them Wednesday night, Tuesday night. And some of the new areas that the gospel is going forward to. That's who we are called to as a church. We just are planning right now, I hope you know this, this summer, we're going to do our Vacation Bible School here. The same way we do Vacation Bible School every year. It's going to be marvelous, fantastic, a couple of hundred kids. But this year we're adding something new. We picked four different neighborhoods. And we're taking Vacation Bible School to those neighborhoods. We're going to go into the neighborhoods. Instead of saying, y'all come over here, we're going to go where they're at. In four different neighborhoods. We're going to hold a little VBS right there. Backyard Kids Club. Here's my hope and here's my prayer that the gospel will go into new areas. You can join me in praying for this. That every single one of those clubs will have one family that comes to know Jesus and engages in the life of our church. That's a good prayer. That the activity of the work of God will go beyond its current boundaries. You see, all of us have to determine how we're going to measure success in our own lives. Is it money? Is that how you keep score? Is that the one that does it for you? Is it winning? Success? Is that the one that does it? Is it the excitement, the fun things that happen? The different places that you go, things. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're great. But if that's your scorecard, you're going to end up in trouble. You have to be asking yourself, is my faith increasing? Is kingdom activity expanding? Is the gospel going new places? So as we close this morning, I'm going to put three questions for you up on the board. I want you to listen as the worship team sings. I want you to ask yourself these questions. Number one, am I in the right lanes? Because you see, you can cross the finish line at work first. But if you do that at the cost of your family, you're going to lose. You can have the biggest, the best 401k in the world. But if you do that at the cost of serving God, you will not hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have to ask yourself the question, do I know the will of God? And am I actually doing the will of God? Will I hear, well done? Suppose, we'll play this game. My wife gets mad every time I play it. Suppose I get in the truck after service today, and I'm not paying attention, and my wife isn't there to remind me to put my seatbelt on, because she has to do that sometimes. And I pull out on 214, and they hit me, and I die. And you are unfortunately in the car behind me, and they get you too. Are you going to hear? Am I going to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you know what? Might happen. Might happen. I mean, you saw it this past week, right? Got up in Baltimore. You know the scariest thing about the county executive in Baltimore when he died with the heart attack this week? Anybody know what the scariest thing is? He was my age. He's 60. I'm like, what? What? No. Gone. Will you hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, for the opportunity to open your word, to study, to look at it. I pray for your people this morning, that if there's some decisions that they need to make, that they will make them. I pray that if there's someone here today, Lord Jesus, that doesn't know you, that does not have you as first in their life, that there's never been a time in their life where they've opened their heart to you, received the forgiveness that you bought and paid for on the cross, that today will be a day where they will open their heart to you and allow you first place in their heart and in their life. God, do in the hearts of your people this morning whatever you need to do I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing together this morning?